Good morning, Vault Dwellers and Wasteland Wanderers. You're listening to the Vaultcast, and today we've got an extremely important episode for you. Bruce, tell the folks why today is so important.
So today it's our first ever guest special, and we're talking to Jess, aka Vault Girl 111, a massive Fallout fan and collector extraordinaire. So let's get right into it, and I'm going to ask, what first got you into collecting Fallout memorabilia, or what was the first piece of Fallout memorabilia you ever collected?
Ooh, so I was in game one day, just having a look at some new games, having a browse, and I came across one of the Fallout Funko bobbleheads, and I really liked that it was so exact to the game, that obviously you go around and you collect. And the first one I ever picked up from there was the Strength bobblehead, so that was the start to a growing addiction.
And it is an incredible addiction, isn't it? I think we were discussing before about how it's kind of an endless pit. As soon as you start buying collectibles, that's it. You're just overtaken, and it's just a never-ending spree of more and more collectibles, right?
I can't control it anymore.
Because one of the things I bought most recently myself was, it's funny you should say that, because it was the bobbleheads. I got the like the collection. I think it was the Fallout 76 one. So as soon as I say that, people are like, they immediately assume it's not as important as any other Fallout game ever, but I absolutely love them. I can't remember how much it was, but it was every bobblehead all in like a super collection, and I'm so proud of that. It's like it's proudly displayed. But Bruce, you've got a fair few of the bobbleheads and Funkos and all this stuff as well, right?
I do, yeah. I have a fair collection of them all. So I've got a load of mystery crates that are made by Funko, but they're not full Funko size. The little mystery crates that you get, like the perks from. So I've got a couple of the ones like Strength, the Grim Reaper one, a couple of bits like that. A few pop vinyls. I've got Dog Meat sitting on my shelf behind me. And I've got a couple of like larger collector bits. So like the Fusion Core, the Power Glove, Power Fist, sorry.
The Power Glove, so that's a retro different console. Because that's another thing we were talking about. We were talking about recently before as well is, it's the homemade stuff, isn't it? Because Bruce, we were talking about how you wanted to build yourself up a super sledge. You said you wanted to make.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind. Like, I turned to prop making a little while ago, and I've made a mask from a couple of other things I watch. But I was thinking to myself, that looks like something I could build, and it could look really cool. So yeah, I kind of want to make a super sledge.
Yeah,
that would be really awesome.
It would be, wouldn't it? Because you see people online doing all the plasma weapons and the laser weapons and stuff, and you see the people that go above and beyond, and they're making like full suits of power armor and whatnot. And on that note, I want to jump back, Jess, to like where it all began, of course. So you're big on the Instagram Fallout scene. You're quite a contender out there. And I noticed that your first post was back in July of 2019. So
yes.
I kind of have a question, like, is that like when you started your like journey, did you have a vision of becoming this like dominant force of Fallout on social media? Or was it like a casual thing? Like, did you ever envision it getting to where you are now?
Not at all. It was just a casual thing. Not many of my friends in person are particularly big on Fallout as a game. More for them. So I just wanted to get to connect with some people because I have obviously a personal Instagram account, and I was seeing all of these huge accounts showing off their merch, gameplay shots, everything like that, and I'd always really loved that. So I thought about just making my own, and it was just this little thing I did a couple of times a week, and then it started picking up followers, and I don't know why, but I'm very grateful about it. It's such a lovely community to be a part of, and everyone's just so friendly, so I'm very happy it has worked out like this so far.
Yeah, I mean, it is, isn't it? Because, I mean, Bruce and I, we've been sort of neck deep in the whole community thing since we started this podcast last year, and it genuinely is one of the nicest communities out there, especially on social media, because everyone, if you put out the Fallout stuff, you're almost guaranteed to get some sort of feedback on it, and people love collectors as well. That's something that I've noticed. If you're a cosplayer or a collector or something like that, or if you've got the ability to build like crazy good camps, or you use these like incredible mods, then people just kind of like flock to you.
Yeah.
And that's the bulk of what you put out, obviously, the collectors and the things that you have and the collector balls. Back on the note of the whole homemade thing that we just discussed, you've got a fair few props from the game, haven't you? Bits and pieces like stim packs and stuff.
Yes, quite a lot of the medical and food stuff especially.
Because that's the kind of thing that I would absolutely love, because it's just so authentic. You see people looking like Etsy or whatever, or these websites where people make things, and I like the the medical stuff, so the Mentat tins and the Buff Tats and the Buff Out and all these bits and pieces. I absolutely love those. I tried to kind of, like Bruce, I tried to kind of get into it recently. Like, I made a crate. I had this crate that I got from, I think it was like Hobbycraft or something. And I painted it up in Fallout, in Vault-Tec colors, and it had like Fallout 76 branding. And I've never done anything like that before. And I was like, if I'm going to start making something, it's got to be Fallout, right?
Exactly.
So that's where that came from. But so moving on with the collection piece as well, the next question, because everyone's got something like this, you've got a huge collection, but what is the most meaningful part of it? What is most important to you in that collection?
So the most meaningful to me, it wouldn't necessarily be something that I've bought. My younger sister, she's really talented with art, and the last couple of Christmases she's gone out of her way to paint me Fallout art, and it's just partly because it comes from her and because it's just amazing. It's definitely one of the most treasured things to me.
So it's unique, isn't it? That's the thing, it's one of a kind,
completely.
As well, yeah. So when it's it kind of transcends like just going out and buying something. That's like next level stuff. I think
I just couldn't get this anywhere else.
Absolutely. No, I think that's like the beauty behind something, not just handmade, but something like as bespoke as art. Because, I mean, I guess you can kind of argue that anyone can get like a Stimpak, but a one of a kind painting, yeah, that is truly special.
Exactly.
I think for me, Bruce, what's your most important part of your collection? Is it like your Fusion Core? You've got Pit Boys and things as well, haven't you?
So yeah, I've got the Pit Boys, I've got Fusion Cores, I've got Pop Vinyls, I've got everything else. But I think the most important part of my collection was what started for me, which was, like I said earlier, I get these little mini figures made by Funko that I used to get in like Game or somewhere like that. And it would be my little dog meat, because it was one of the rarest, rarest ones in that collection. It was one out of 722 chance to get it. And
oh, wow.
I got it on my
That's
first
really
box. So,
well, you know what? That's kind of what put me into collecting last year, because I had bits and pieces over, you know, the last 10 years or something like that. But it was really last year that I started pouring some money into the whole collector side. And I was picking up things like the Nuka World Golden Ticket and the, you know, the lunch boxes and the pins and the coins. And basically, if it was a limited edition, I wanted it.
I get that.
it's just so much more interesting and like compelling to have something that's rare, you know. It's not like the scale of what were those like sentry bots that Bethesda were doing, and there was like 100 or something, or like the watches and there's only like 200 made, and I love the rarer stuff. So I started buying those in the hopes that I'd get one, you know. I can't remember what number my golden ticket was, but you hope for a number that's like 111 or 101 or 76. But I didn't get anything that good, unfortunately.
You got
but
like
I think for
97,
me,
didn't you?
I got something, yeah, some number that has absolutely no importance whatsoever. But yeah. But it's still rare. It's still rare. So
maybe one day.
Maybe one day they'll release the next game with Vault whatever my number is, and I'll be quids in, you know. I think for me, the most meaningful part of my collection is one of my oldest and I think earliest parts of my Fallout collection. It's the New Vegas Collector's Edition.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
as soon as I say I've got one, people say that. Because it's not like super rare, but I think only something like 8,000 made in the UK. And I had to really work hard to get it, because once upon a time I worked in Game and we had a guy trade in his collection. He traded in his Collector's Edition. I just want to say that. So I don't know what this guy was thinking.
I will never understand.
but he sold it in, and I immediately, you know, I had dibs on it. But my manager knew I was a massive Fallout fan, and he kind of toyed with me a bit. Not like harshly, but he was like, oh, you've got to work a free shift if you want to pick up the Fallout thing. I never did, because that's, you know, not right. But eventually I bought it, and I still have it to this day. And although collectibles have come and gone, you know, I used to buy things from every game in the world, basically. Every game I played was a collector's edition. I died out of that. But now, proudly, it's the core of my collection. This Fallout New Vegas with the platinum chip and the casino chips. And it's so good. I absolutely love it. But on that note, that kind of does bring me to another question there, Jess, for you. Because that gentleman obviously parted ways with at least some of his collection. Do you think you could ever scrap your entire collection?
I can't imagine that ever happening. Honestly, I've been obsessed with Fallout for years. All of the games that I've tried so far I love, and I can't ever imagine not giving one a go. I haven't, for example, played the originals yet, but I definitely want to, for half completeness sake and half because it's just Fallout. But I can't imagine. It would have to take me stopping liking Fallout, and I'm about 6 years in so far, so I think it's a good chance that it'll be sticking around.
And as we said, it's down the rabbit hole, isn't it? It's once you get hooked on it, you're never coming out. That's the problem. But on that note, you've never actually played Fallout 76 either, have you?
I haven't yet. I am planning to, but I'm a bit worried about it because obviously there's very mixed reviews, and I'm quite worried to not like a Fallout game because that would be a first for me so far.
It would be heartbreaking, wouldn't it? Bruce, is Fallout 76 good?
Well, I would say yes, it is. I mean, I played it first when it just came out, so it's quite a barren landscape, and I'm not going to lie, it did put me off to start with, and I'm like, this is not a Fallout game. I refuse to acknowledge it as a Fallout game. But after 2 years, when they finally input NPCs, and they input a better quest line, and there's an actual story behind it, it's become a pretty staple piece in the Fallout universe, I think. It's now, I would class it as a Fallout game. It's not the multiplayer I wanted. I wanted a co-op storyline, but it's good as it gets.
I think it's really, well, I'm exactly the same as you, Bruce. I'm not gonna lie, I picked it up at launch and it was the most bug-ridden thing in the world. I think it actually led to me from then on calling Bethesda Bugthesda, out of spite of them ruining a Fallout game. But now it's, yeah, like Bruce said, now it's next level. If it's like you're kind of mulling over whether or not to play it, now is probably the best time, because it is so like overloaded with content and lore, and the map is, I'm pretty sure, the biggest Fallout map they've ever made. And it, obviously it runs on Fallout 4's engine, so you'll already feel familiar from the moment you step into it. The only thing is, like Bruce said, it can feel a bit more barren than Fallout 4 because there's kind of less, it's less populated, you know. They've now introduced big cities and settlers are kind of sporadically placed about here and there. But it is, there's a little less direction and a little more just explore and see what you stumble across. You know, it is an RPG it is an MMORPG, so it's built around big boss battles and, you know, like raids and stuff. But is that your kind of thing? Like, have you had much exposure to like multiplayer stuff, or are you more of a single player kind of gamer?
I do normally play more single player games because I'm quite a big fan of just like the open world immersive, just wandering around for hours seeing what I can find kind of thing. But I do quite like the zombies map from Call of Duty, Gears of War, that kind of thing. So I don't think that would put me off necessarily. It probably would just be the fact that it's different to how I'm used to Fallout being, just because to me Fallout has always just been completely like a, I just sit down and play it for hours on my own kind of thing.
For many, many hours. Bruce, how many hours have you played Fallout 4?
I think we're both the same on this. It's over 1,000 hours.
It, I can't beat easy, that.
Easy over 1,000 hours, because this is, I mean, we have mentioned this before. Fallout 4 is basically your favourite Fallout title, isn't it, Jess?
Definitely.
And that, I think, is, it's a really weird one, because to me, it's unbeaten. There's no Fallout game better than 4. But it just seems that when you mention that, there are so many people that criticise that being your favourite, right? Have you noticed that?
I have had quite a few, because obviously it's one of the newer ones. You can't really compare 76 to the same thing because it's so different, but there's a lot of people that will say, oh, if it's not 3 or New Vegas, like, that's all the original content where everything's based, that kind of thing. And I like them both a lot. It might be something to do with the fact that Fallout 4 is the first one that I've played, so there's sort of the nostalgic, this is where it all started kind of thing. But I don't know, it's special to me. It stands out.
Yeah, I mean, I've always gone, I think the replay value is crazy. Like, I've always gone back to it. I've had it on Xbox One, then PS4, then PC. If they brought it to Nintendo Switch, I'd probably get it there too. But yeah, it's just one of those things where it just seems like, I've said this to Bruce, I've said this to you as well, haven't I, Bruce? Where every time you play, it just seems like there is something else you discover, or another location,
exactly,
or another random encounter. And not just the base game, but the expansions too, right?
Yeah,
I mean, the DLCs are amazing.
There's so much in them that you can look at mods as well. It adds a whole new aspect to the game. There's the Creation Club that adds a whole new Minutemen quest. There is so much in that game. I still go back to it now, and there's still things I find. You know, their skeleton humor, for example. There's always something new you find with that.
Fallout, Bethesda and their skeleton, and the toilet humor as well. They love it, right?
Yeah,
the
they
teddy
do.
Teddy bears as well.
All the garden gnomes. Oh, I love it. It's one of the, every time I go in a building, if there's a bathroom, if there's a toilet, I go in and I'm opening the cubicles and I'm fully expecting something funny to be behind the door. But I mean, it's also, like we said, it's a great game if you want to explore and discover new things. And the completionist aspect, I'm guessing that applies to you, Jess, because you recently did a thing where you went around Nuka World and explored every single location, didn't you?
Yeah, I like to be able to find everything. Although I'm aware that will probably never happen with Fallout 4 because there's just so many little Easter eggs and tiny locations that aren't marked around the map.
Did you find the Dark Souls Easter egg?
Yes, I did. That was really good.
What was an Easter egg? Sorry,
The Dark Soul Easter egg. So you go in and that, I don't know if you've played Dark Souls, but you find fire pits with swords in them, and they heal you.
Yeah.
And then in the Nuka World DLC, there's just a random shack you go in, you click and you activate it, it goes, oh, and drops a load of stim packs from the ceiling.
It was so good. I was just wandering around Bradburton and Nuka World, and just that one place especially, there are so many little things that I've been finding. There's been so many scenes that are set up in like the hotel there and everything, and I came across that and I just had to stop and admire it.
That's the great thing as well, like how... It, you know, like with Fallout, it's not just an expansion of the game, it's an expansion of the lore as well. And everything that they put on it just furthers the story more. So, you know, Nuka Cola, obviously one of the biggest entities and the most iconic things in Fallout. You think of Fallout, you think of like either Nuka Cola or, you know, Vault Boy or something. And the fact that they recognized that and they built an entire theme park on it, but then they kind of went beyond that and they had you exploring, you know, the Nuka Cola founder and it's just... So, I can't think of a game. There's probably some out there that I'm completely ignoring, but I can't think of a series that's so dense with like lore. And that's one of the best things about Fallout is just knowing. I mean, that's what this podcast is all about, exploring the background of Fallout. And that's obviously why, like you said, you'd kind of want to go back and play the first two games just to sort of see it at the source, right?
Yeah, definitely. I like how there's links throughout the whole series and it just sort of ties it all together with the lore going backwards.
Yeah, it is fantastic. Going back to the collectible side of things, though, it's a big question because we're always trying to expand our collections, right? If there was or is, like a dream collectible out there, like a next level thing that you want, what would that be? What are you after?
It would have to be the Fusion Flea collections. I absolutely love them. And as we saw on Instagram the other day, there is some really lucky person that has them out there. And I am so jealous. The Slocum's Joe one especially, it's just beautiful. And I would love to get my hands on them.
You know what? There's a lot of things like the whole brand thing that comes through in Fallout 76. Like I know there's mods in Fallout 4, but in 76 you can get like Slocum's Joe packs. And you can get these little like stores and furniture that's in the kind of theme. You can get a whole suit of power armor. It's like bright pink with sprinkles on it. Slocum's Joe is a fan. It's one of those things where I think not many people know what Slocum's Joe is, but then as soon as you see it, you know, you're like, oh, I know what that is. It's one of those like subtle brands in Fallout that is like so impactful. But I saw recently on Instagram the I think we're talking about the same thing. The Slocum's Joe Fusion Flea, and they're absolutely adorable. One that I like in that kind of realm is the big Nuka-Cola trucks that you can get.
Yeah, definitely.
They're incredible. I'd love one of those because they're obviously, like you said earlier on with the whole bobblehead thing, you see something in the game and then you get it in real life. To have that is really cool. I've had like posters and things from the game and obviously I've got bobbleheads, but the Nuka-Cola truck is just so cool. It's like the Coca-Cola truck, but better. Bruce, what about you? Is there anything out there that you desperately want from Fallout?
So there's a couple of things I want. So I'd quite like the power armor because you can actually buy parts of the power armor and make a full set. You know, some of them would have to be crafted by people on like Ecstasy, for example, but you can get certain pieces from the collection. So I wouldn't mind getting together a whole suit of power armor.
I'm curious, is that going to be for like LARPing or are you just going to like go shopping in it? Or
I'm going to go shopping in it, just down the street. just walk into Tesco's wearing it. Hello.
Full suit of power armor. You'd have to get like an Alsatian or something to have dog meat walking by yourself.
Oh yeah, 100%. But I think I'd also want to get the Nuka-Cola mini fridge.
They look amazing. Yeah. The amount of Nuka-Cola bits that you can get, like I saw a guy recently had a Nuka-Cola PC, and that made me pretty envious.
Well, I mean, Nuka-Cola is pretty much a staple of Fallout, let's be honest, because bottle caps.
Well, yeah, without yeah, the currency, the currency of the world. Yeah, I suppose so. But unfortunately, Bruce, I have to stop you. I have to stop everyone here because we are unfortunately out of time. So it is down to Bruce now to tell us exactly what we're going to be talking about in the next episode of the Vaultcast.
So in our next episode, we are going to look and discuss the future of Fallout. This episode will include our thoughts on the future of Fallout, where we think it's going to go, and the kind of locations we'd love to see in a Fallout game set. So with that in mind, Jess, for the next game, so say Fallout 5 was coming out, yes, where would you want that game to be set?
Oh, I'd love one to be set in England, just to be able to compare everything to it a bit more. Then, like, to have the ability to walk around and compare real-life locations to the game, I'd love that.
That is, I think Bruce and I would agree with you massively on that one, right, Bruce?
Oh, yeah, I mean, England is one of those ones I'd like to see, because it'd be interesting to see, like, what companies leaked over to England from America, or if there's a completely different... So, like, is Roboco over here, or is it something completely different? Is it a different branch or something like that? I'd be quite interested to see that.
I guess we have to wait and see. We have to wait and see. But that is the end of this episode. I'd like to take the opportunity to thank you, Jess, for joining us today. I hope you've had a fantastic time.
I have. Thank you very much for having me on.
So, Vault Dwellers and Wasteland Wanderers, if there's one thing you should always remember...
it's that war never changes.